Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I have another really good guest for you today. You know, I could sit here and talk to you for 30 minutes, and I may do that sometimes, but when I can get a good guest, well, guess what? I get them on and we talk about interesting subjects. And today is a very timely subject as we get around the holidays, and that is the subject of divorce and blended families and collaboration and cooperation and all those things. Well, I've got a very good guest to talk with us today. Angie Hallier is managing partner at Hallier and Lawrence. They're law practitioners, and she's written the book, The Wiser Divorce, Positive Strategies for Your Next Best Life. And you want to take a look at the website, AngieHallier.com, H-A-L-L-I-E-R. Angie, welcome to the program.
Hi, David. Great to be back with you.
Well, you're just too kind. Thank you very much for agreeing to come back. And my listeners know that guests don't come back unless they're really good.
So you're
on the A-list. So thank you for making time for me. I know you're very busy. And for my listeners, Angie is a founder and managing partner of the law firm. And the firm is ranked number one family law firm in Arizona by Ranking Arizona. That's pretty cool. And also have that very important AV rated from Martindale. Is it Hubble?
Hubble.
That is the highest competency and ethical rating giving to a law firm. And also named a super lawyer. Do you have a cape and the boots? And
I only wear those at home.
Okay. All right. Well, very good. Well, I think that's excellent. Super lawyer by superlawyers.com. Every year since 2007. Outstanding. Appreciate your taking time, Angie. Let's just dive in. Around the holidays, there's extra pressure. There's extra emotions. And so the first question I want to ask you are, what are some of the struggles that divorced couples have with children that they face around the holidays?
You know, even without being divorced, there's stress around the holidays. And
that's
there's
true.
Expectations and anticipations and attempts to make this so perfect. And you know, even more stress comes along when you have children. And usually I see this in three areas is, you know, the time sharing, the gift giving, and the money stressors that happen. And the most important thing for your child around the holidays is to not create conflict.
Mm.
You know, I recently met someone who told me, he's an adult and very successful adult, he told me he never had a Merry Christmas until he was an adult and married because his divorced parents made every holiday so conflictual that
wow.
he and his siblings couldn't stand it.
So, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, starting with time sharing, it's really hard as a parent to give up part of your holiday with your children. The time that you want to be with them and the time you want to share with them. But it's going to be different when you're divorced. And as the adult, you need to accept that. So make those plans for time sharing far in advance so that you know what you're going to do with yourself
while
the kids are with the other spouse.
That's very good, Angie. And have a plan. As you were describing that, the first thing that popped into my mind was, you know, you mentioned the word time several times, and that's, I remember as a kid, it really was time spent with my family that mattered the most to me, and gifts are nice, and as a kid, I mean, I'm getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning wanting to know if Santa Claus has come yet, but it's the time with family and having a plan, not just for what you're going to do with yourself when you're not around the kids, if that's, you're in the divorce situation, but have a plan for what you are going to do with the kids to make those memories. And I had somebody say the other day, you know, invest in experiences, not in things, and those will be the things that they remember.
It's true, and as an adult, you can't show stress if the traditions you had established as a married family get changed. You know, I had a client who every Christmas Eve, they had all the family over, and they made cookies. It was a big event every year throughout the life of her children. Well, when the divorce happened, it was just so hard for her to let go of that. She wanted to fight to have every Christmas Eve. Well, that just wasn't going to be because now she had an ex-husband who wanted to alternate that. So as the parent, you have to make sure that you don't get caught up in showing to your children any of your stress over those changes.
Excellent. Excellent advice, Angie. And how about with the gift giving? What advice do you have for divorced parents about giving gifts to children during the holidays?
One of the things I see most often, and I don't know where this comes from, but parents will say to the child, now, whatever gift your dad or your mom gives you, make sure to keep it at their house. Don't bring it back to mine. Or whatever gift I give you, do not take to the other parent's house. So that's an awful thing for a kid. You've just given them a gift that's supposed to be theirs, and now you're sending a message to them that if they take it to their other parent's home, that is something horrible. Or if they bring a gift the other parent gave them into your home, that's horrible. So you're just dismissing half of the person who made them. It's a bad thing to do.
Well, it makes the gift conditional, too. I don't like that. Talk about conflictual. That can really create a lot of conflict within the child, and that's just not fair.
It isn't. And don't be judgmental. You know, if your ex-husband's new girlfriend gave your children a gift that you think was a silly gift or not a good gift, you know, don't ruin it by mocking a gift that came from the other side of the family.
Yeah, that's good advice. Well, how about if money's an issue? What if you've got post-divorce, different money, financial capabilities? And even, I'm not speaking to one of the spouses coming out better in the divorce. I'm not talking about that. But it might be one side has a family money or whatever the case may be, trust money or something else, and they just have more financial resources. What advice do you say to the divorced parents where that's an issue and how to manage children's expectations without the blame game?
Yes. You are adults and really care about your children, then you will communicate before the holidays. You'll communicate about what each of you know about what the child might want for gifts. You'll communicate on whether each of you can buy something on that list. And you'll communicate about whether there's one or two things that if you pooled your money, whether equally or in some other percentage, could be right. given to the child from both of you. And,
okay.
you know, it's important when you do that, then don't fight afterwards about whose house the gift will be given to the child at.
Give the gift that has legs and can go where the child goes.
Exactly.
Oh, good grief.
And, well, you know, I was going to add that, you know, you made a really good point at the beginning. Children don't grow up and remember every gift they got at the holiday. What they remember is those good memories. So if money is a stressor, there are so many things you can do to make those memories. You could have a year where, and my family actually did this last year, we were tired of giving gifts, so as adults, we said, everybody can spend $30 and you have to make your gift.
Cool.
And we will remember that the rest of our lives. So do volunteer work, or make cookies, or donate, or do things that don't cost money to create those great memories.
Excellent advice. Angie Hallier is our guest, managing partner of Hallier & Lawrence, family law practitioners. Website, AngieHallier.com. Angie, HALLIER.com. And the book is The Wiser Divorce, Positive Strategies for Your Next Best Life. Quick break. We'll be right back with Angie.
What if in the time it takes to eat lunch, you could potentially strengthen your financial future? Would you invest 1 hour to plan stronger? If you spend just 1 hour with certified financial planner David Holland, you'll get simple, straightforward advice to help you plan stronger. And if you already have a financial plan, isn't it worth an hour to get a second opinion? There is no cost or obligation to meet with David. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com for more information.
And we are back with Angie Hallier, and I want to just hit one more subject before we leave it, Angie, and that is, how about for those folks out there that this is new? This is, maybe there's a blended family, maybe they're facing their first Christmas or holidays together. Can you give them, in a nutshell, some things to be thinking about? Because there's a lot of dynamics going on if we've got a blended family or different folks involved that weren't involved before. You mentioned the gift by the new spouse. Speak to that a little bit.
Well, one of the things that's hard for blended families is if there is a difference in the financial wealth just of the new married couple and they both have children, because you're going to be spending this holiday as a new blended family. But if one of the new spouse's children get expensive gifts, and the other spouse's children don't, you know, that can be tough too. So in blended families, the parents really have to plan too, so that neither of their children feel like they got, you know, the raw end of the deal.
Right.
And as the ex-spouse of someone who has a new blended family, really be careful not to be judgmental. You may not like that new spouse. You may not like the new girlfriend, but this is someone that's going to be in your children's lives, and you want them to feel like you're comfortable with that person as well. It's tough, but, you know, if you really put those kids first and think about what can I do so they see no conflict, they do not see I'm upset, and they know I'm happy when they're not with me on the holidays, all of those things will work best for your kids.
Excellent advice, Angie. I want to turn to your book for our listeners, The Wiser Divorce, Positive Strategies for Your Next Best Life. And I want to get into something that I really found interesting, and I want to just talk to you a little bit about it. But before we do that, just for our listeners' benefit, what inspired you to write this book? Because, I mean, you didn't have to do this. You have a successful law practice. But what inspired you to do this?
I really, after 25 years of representing people and having been divorced myself, I absolutely believe that the way you speak through your divorce, think through your divorce, and act through your divorce will have a profound impact on your happiness after your divorce. But I felt like not enough divorce attorneys were sharing those tips and those strategies with people. So I wanted to help everyone focus on how the divorce itself, that process, can be transformative in a positive way, so that your focus during the divorce is not on the divorce itself, but on your future.
Excellent. And you spoke in your book about the divorce process, or processing your divorce, by imagining a series of rooms. Share with us about that using that analogy.
One of the most common ways that people don't process their divorce right is to bring all the emotion and blame and anger and revenge that they have generally about the marriage ending into the process of divorce. So I suggest to people, imagine your divorce as a house with a series of rooms. And in one room, you are going to keep all those emotions that you are rightfully going to have to work through. But in the room where you're working on the business of the divorce, don't break down the walls, don't bring the emotions into the process, or you will cause yourself a lot of emotional angst and way more money than you should be spending on your divorce.
Well, okay, so let me do the, I have to play devil's advocate here a little bit with the advocate. Let me share this or ask you this question, Angie. What do you tell people when the soon-to-be ex-spouse won't play nice? They're making it difficult. And I've had people come into my office and tell me some of the shenanigans that have gone on when they process a divorce, and I'm trying to guide them on their finances after the divorce, and some of the games that are played, and people just not playing nice. What do you say to that?
Well, you're right. There's going to be a lot of times where one side just won't play the game, if you want to call it that, the way it should. They're either they were abusers during the marriage, and they're going to continue to do that. They're narcissists who are not going to change. For whatever reason, sometimes one side won't bring their best self to the table. What I tell my clients is that you tenaciously bring your best qualities and your best traits to the divorce. You control the way you're going to do this. And it may mean that you have to have an attorney who's going to fight for you in court. That's okay. That's not living up to your own truth. But divorce amplifies either people's best traits or their worst, and you want your best traits amplified during this process, even if your soon-to-be ex won't do that.
Fair enough. I mean, that's sound advice. And you spoke to taking your case to court. You know, the legal system, you know, people have different opinions about it, just as they have different opinions about the people involved, attorneys and judges and the like. What do you say to people that maybe wonder about the ability of our legal system, Angie, to make get the divorce right? In other words, to rely on the system.
That is your last resort. If you go to court because you and your spouse cannot resolve your issues, you are leaving your destiny in the hands of someone who may be an excellent judge or a very poor judge, someone who may have biases you don't know about, and someone who may not believe you. And sometimes people go through that court process because they think they will be vindicated. I will be told I'm right. Good and evil will prevail. That's not how it works. And you're putting your life in the hands of someone who's only going to see you for a few hours. They're never going to hear all the things that made up your life as a married couple. And they're constrained by the law as to what options they can even give you. So that's the last resort. You absolutely want to use all your best powers and with your good attorney to try to resolve your issues outside of going to court.
So you're talking about reaching a marital property settlement. and a settlement regarding kids and all of that.
Yes, that's what you want to do. And they're really, you know what, most cases can and should end that way if you have the right people assisting you.
Makes sense. Why leave it to what is largely an unknown or and certainly unpredictable? If you're in a settlement negotiation, you know, you are in control versus this being, you know, handed to a judge to, you know, to make this call. And I have had people tell me, Angie, and of course, I'm providing a small glimmer of anecdotes of my, I know you've seen this vastly, much more commonly in a larger scale, but I've had people come in and share with me that, you know, they went through this process and it did go to court and it was, you know, it went bad real fast and it was not the outcome they were hoping for.
Sometimes you have to go to court as your last resort because certain things are non-negotiable. I mean, there are, almost everything is negotiable, but it's non-negotiable if you have an actively alcoholic, soon-to-be ex who wants the children half the time.
Right.
You know, those kind of things. But other than that, there usually is a way to settle, and it is tough, and it doesn't sometimes end at the trial. If one of the parties doesn't like what the judge said, then you could go through years of appeal and use all that money that
right.
could have been for your next best wife.
There you go.
Getting rid of the last one.
Well put. Angie Hallier, ladies and gentlemen, partner at Hallier and Lawrence Law Practice. The book, The Wiser Divorce, Positive Strategies for Your Next Best Life, and the website, AngieHallier.com, H-A-L-L-I-E-R, for that last name. Hold right there. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Do you know how to get the most from Social Security? Don't let a simple mistake prevent you from receiving all the benefits you've earned. David Holland recently showed a retiring couple how they could get an extra $84,000 in Social Security benefits over their expected lifetime. Wow! Don't leave your money on the table. Call Holland Financial today for your one-on-one appointment. David can do a free analysis for you and show you the optimal age to start drawing Social Security and filing techniques to maximize your benefits. There is no cost or obligation. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back. Angie Hallier on the line with me. Super excited to have her with us because she's lived it. She's 25 years experience. Is that what you said, Angie, as a lawyer?
Yes.
Wow, that's a lot. And so she's seen a lot, and we're very glad to leverage that knowledge. And I have to ask you, I know you will have it, but I want to kind of ask you kind of a personal question, I guess, a little bit, and that is, with the work you've done and seen so many things and helped people going through this divorce process, I want to ask you if you could think of maybe one thing that stands out or maybe a couple that you would say were your proudest moments in helping people through this process.
The proudest times I remember as a divorce attorney are those times where it started out with people thinking they just weren't going to live through this divorce, and they're either crying or angry or sad, and they come out the other end extremely successful. For instance, I had a couple who had both been accountants their entire life, and they had this great marriage and had four kids, and as it went on, the wife began to feel like she had this very intuitive sensing side and began to be called upon by people to share her psychic abilities. Well, this is totally the opposite of how the accountant world was that brought them together. But you know what? We helped this couple work through it. They bought a house five doors down from each other. Their kids go back and forth. She's really successful, and he's happy. And they accepted the fact they've grown to different places in their lives, and they didn't let it ruin their lives.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's quite a change. You know, and the other thing I wanted to get to, because I know that you have been an inspiration to and inspire people with what you do. Talk a little bit about something which is not something that people really want to talk about, and it's something like we want to kind of turn and, oh, you know, hey, look at that bird up in the tree. We don't want to talk about this, and that is the bad or abusive relationships and marriages and people trying to get out of those with divorce. You know, what can you say to the listener, perhaps, Angie, that is in that situation? What do you want to say to them to help them and get them out of that?
Well, I know this firsthand, and I know how you feel if you're in an abusive relationship. My first marriage over 30 years ago was with a man who was very abusive, and I had a child with him. And I didn't have a college degree. I didn't have a law degree, for sure. I was very young, and I had to figure out how to get out of that. And it is tough. You know, you go, you can get support, you get your family, but the important thing is to know that this will not be your life forever. My divorce was one of the things that transformed my life for the better. So gather your strength, get your allies and your friends and anyone you can around you, because you can turn this around. In my own case, having been in an abusive relationship is what inspired me to do so much of my philanthropic work with domestic violence shelters. So, you know, you can do it, and you can totally transform your life.
And they don't have to. And I heard this the other day, and I know you can relate to this. Somewhere I had heard somebody was, and this is very probably more common than I would like to think, somebody staying in a marriage just because of the finances. I mean, it was a bad marriage, abusive marriage, and they were in it and couldn't see a way out, and when we're staying marriage is because of the, you know, the financial aspects of it. And I really, you know, it really was, it was sad.
And it's hard when you're beat down.
Yeah.
To that extent, to realize that, you know what, you can turn your financial future around too. And it may be tough for a while, but it's a lot tougher to stay in an abusive, soul-killing marriage.
That's a very good way to put it, Angie, because that's exactly what the price will be, or the cost will be. It'll be your soul. It'll be that inside part of you that just curls up and dies because of this. And, you know, it's sad. And so I appreciate your encouraging people, you know, especially women facing that, to do something about it and to get help. And I know in the book, you know, you've got a lot of resources. Let's talk for a minute about some of the tools that are readily accessible in your book, The Wiser Divorce. What are some of the things you'd like to point out for people to know about that will help them through this process?
Now, one of the things is to do an inventory. The book, actually, and you can download the forms for free on the website, actually takes you through exercises and processes to really evaluate where you've been and where you want to go. So first, looking at what is the good out of the marriage that you can take forward with you. Whether that is only just the fact you have great children, or maybe it's the fact you learned another language or traveled to a country you always wanted to go. There is probably some good that you can look back on and say, I'm going to carry that forward. And then start looking at what you didn't do during the marriage to live to the fullest yourself. What wishes and dreams and desires did you set aside that you never really even thought about again, that maybe you can achieve in the future? And there's also a worksheet, the same thing for children. How are you going to ensure that what your children had that was good during the marriage goes forward, and that you and their other parent work together to ensure their stability and consistency? And once you do all that, you can start to make a plan for the future, and then everything you do in your divorce is to be pointed towards that future plan.
Outstanding. That's how you focus on that next best life.
Exactly.
And I like that you're not just taking the divorce and just wadding it up, or the marriage, and just wadding it up like a piece of paper with the divorce and throwing it out the window, and that's it. We're throwing it in the trash bin. You're actually embracing the fact that there were some very good parts of the marriage, and you take that, and you don't let go of that. You keep that, and you make that the focus, which I think is a brilliant way of looking at it, Angie, is make that the focus of the divorce process, that you keep your eye on the prize, and the prize is you hold on to those things that are the most important ones to you, and everything you do is toward that end.
Exactly. When you have, for instance, a family member that passes away, you don't forget them. You look at the positive that you're going to remember about them. And it's hard for people because we grow up, I think, filled with marriage and walking down that aisle is one of the great goals in life, and it's really hard sometimes to realize that dream is dead, at least for this marriage. So focusing on that positive really helps you have a happy life as well.
Great advice, Angie. And we've got just a couple minutes. I want to ask you about another subject, which I know you're very tuned into, and that is the graying of divorce and the divorces occurring at older ages. And of course, part of this is a lot of different things happening demographically, shift in traditional roles, longevity, all of those things are factors. You have people that are getting divorced later, but the other part of this I want to get your thoughts on is in that environment, you have people that are getting married, divorced, married again. What do you say to folks that perhaps have been in a few marriages and they're like, you know what? Enough's enough. I mean, I'll just stick with this. I mean, I guess, what do you say? You know, do we say to those people, keep trying and don't give up and don't ever resign yourself to this is as good as it's going to get?
Well, you know, some of those people that have those repetitive marriages and divorces haven't learned how to choose right. I had someone tell me that had done that, that came to see me. He was on his third divorce. He said, my picker is broken. I said, well, yes, your picker is broken. You need to work on picking better. So I am an advocate for not staying in a marriage that's not happy, but also not remarrying just to get someone close to you again. Really focus on what do you want. And you know what? Sometimes being alone is okay. And sometimes the happiest times you could have is when you're not with a spouse that you're not happy with.
So yeah, maybe if this is a pattern, maybe say, wait a minute, maybe I need to be a little pickier and maybe take a little more time and regroup, reflect, and just, you know, make sure it's a thoughtful process.
And every successive marriage has a higher rate of failure, so choose carefully. And it is hard for older couples, you know, there is that too. But you know what, I think the same rules and policies apply no matter what your age.
What's the most number of marriage or person getting divorced, what's the most number of marriages they've been in that you've seen?
Six.
Wow. So seven was the maybe the charm.
Yeah, wow. I don't know what happened after the sixth divorce we did, but.
Wow. Okay. Well, they say practice makes perfect. Angie Hallier, ladies and gentlemen, managing partner at Hallier & Lawrence, family law practitioners. The book is The Wiser Divorce, Positive Strategies for Your Next Best Life, and a lot of good resources, as Angie mentioned, over on the website, forums and things like that. AngieHallier.com, HALLIER.com. Angie, pleasure to have you. We'll have to have you back and talk again.
Thank you, David. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.